Okay, yes, good morning. You mean speak up, you're through, go. I'm sure you shall be clean indeed. Okay, there we go. Good morning to you all. Morning, sorry. Paul, you just looked a bit different this morning. I just wasn't too sure. But good morning to you all. You know, it's always a privilege to be able to share that the word of the Lord with you. And what I believe that he is sharing with me or showing me in my life, my wife's life. And we come to the place where I have been sharing on building the church and what God wants of us. And I want to continue in that vein because we need to know what God's desire is, his vision for the church, before we can determine what our vision should be. So if we don't know the scriptures and we don't know what the Lord wants of us, it's difficult to have a vision or understand what the Lord wants. So for me, I want to encourage you. I know Andrew does it for you. I don't. That is to bring your Bibles with you or a notebook or something just to be able to write in the scriptures. Because I'm not going to read every scripture, but I will refer to them or quote them. And I think it's important for us to know what the Lord is saying to us. In Ephesians 2, 19-22, the Lord shows us, we shared this, I think, last month, but the Lord shows us what he wants to do, the foundation that we are built on. And, you know, the song that we've just sung, the Lord is the rock that we are built on, and the cornerstone. And that is, we are built together the foundation of the apostles and the prophets with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. And we need to remember how the Lord wants us to build. So we need to look at that scripture, and I'll leave it with you. I'm not going to read it out this morning, but we need to understand what the Lord is wanting from us. 1 Peter 2, verse 4. I'd like to share mainly from 1 Peter 2, verse 4. It was chatting to someone we know well that's sitting at the back, who commented on it, and it stayed with me, it stuck with me, that we are living stones. And let me read the scripture first. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And we are being built into a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. We are being built into a living building, built with the stones of our lives. And Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, but the Lord wants to build his house. It's a house of worship. It's a place of residence, is this the right way of putting it, where the Lord can reside. He wants to build this temple, this building, and we are the ones being put in place as living stones. And you know, to create a stone for a building, if you ever looked at some of the older buildings here, each one of those stones is cut and chiseled and made to fit. And they're not necessarily all the same size, but they all fit perfectly. And a lot of these buildings don't have mortar. So there's nothing between the stones. And I believe the Lord wants that from us, is that there's nothing between us. That if there's anything that's in our lives that is not as from the Lord or for the Lord, we need to clear it. We need to repent. We need to come to a place of forgiveness where we are no longer in that place of being separated from one another. But we, first of all, need to understand who we are in the Lord. We need to understand that we are truly privileged. We are God's people. That song there, and a lot of the music this morning to me is it's a lot of what I want to share. So the worship and the praise have been covering it. But we need to understand that we are God's people. We are chosen. We are not our own. We do not own our own lives. Some of us don't agree with that necessarily, but the one thing that the Lord does want, he does want us to come to the place where we submit to him and we accept him. You know, we need to know who made us, who we belong to. In Ephesians 2 verse 10 says that we are his workmanship, created by him for good works in Jesus Christ. You know, when you start to read these scriptures, I'm not going to read out a lot of these scriptures because there's so many of them. When you start to look at the scriptures of who we are in the Lord, there are just so many of them that we can really spend a long time looking at them. And we are chosen. We don't belong to ourselves. We do belong to him. And in Psalm 100, it's beautiful. Read Psalm 100, verse 3. He says, he created. He made us. And, you know, when we look at that, we realize that we need to understand that we are different. We are different to the world. We are not in the same place as the world because we belong to another spirit. We've got a different principles, different practices, different understanding, a different community. It's because we belong to the Lord. And if we need to be distinct from the world, because if we try to live as the world does, we begin to think like the world. And when we begin to think like the world, there is no ways that you're going to be able to discern what God wants from us. Because we do need to understand what the Lord wants of us. Because we can live a life in the flesh, we can live our own lives, but in the end, it's not really what the Lord wants. And we can create situations of our own with consequences when we go our own way. My wife and I think we understand that. Do we still go our own way occasionally? Yes. But you know, we've had to pay the price of making decisions in the flesh, in the mind, in the intellect, and we've had consequences from that. Some people are concerned about taking the Lord's burden on them. He says, my burden is light. But we sometimes think, no, it's not good enough. And we take our own burdens. We have to carry things that we don't really need to carry. Because when we take the Lord's burden, there's a freedom. There's a lightness that comes out of going, Lord, you tell me what to do, otherwise we don't go there. And you know, it's amazing how safe that keeps you. How peaceful it keeps you. But we are a different spirit. There are different principles, different practices, different thinking completely. But I'll get there just now. Just I'm laying the foundation here. You know, we need to remember who God is. And sometimes we're talking about here about being fitted in place. We're talking about Ephesians 2, talking about being fitted. And Peter talks about living stones. So what I'm sharing this morning is about being fitted as living stones. In other words, being fitted, not fitting ourselves. And we need to be very careful about the fact that we do sometimes try to fit ourselves. And for me, that's what I call position, when you want a position. And a lot of churches you go today, there are a lot of people who don't understand that it's God who fits you. And it's not us who fit ourselves. And you'll see this in a lot of aspects of the church where people want position. What I'm talking about is the place that God puts you in. The place in the building of God, in the body of God, that the Lord will place us. When I say place us, he will put us there. And so we need to remember who God is. And God is sovereign. I had to relearn how to spell that, by the way. But God is sovereign. He's the Almighty. He is the maker of heaven and earth. Sorry for the evolutionists, but he made heaven and earth. He's the one that created everything, created us in his own image. And, you know, when you look at the world around you, look at the human body, there's no chance involved in this, please. You know, evolution, never mind, I won't go there. But we need to understand who God is. He's the maker of heaven and earth. And when we have a look, and in fact, maybe I should, I'd like to read it. If we look at Daniel 4, verse 34. And what we're talking about is Nebuchadnezzar. Remember Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, who destroyed Judah. He came to know who the Lord was through Daniel. And Daniel came to him and said, you know, you need to recognize God for who he is. He is the Almighty. And as long as you recognize him, he will look after you. And Nebuchadnezzar decided to go his own route, and he decided to do what he wanted to do. And the Lord put him out as a wild animal, and he ate the grass for 7 years. And then he suddenly woke up one morning and said, oops, hold on, I need to understand that God is the Almighty, and he can do what he wants. And So I just want to read this passage from Daniel 4, verse 34, the second part of 34. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? So when we look at our lives, there are the occasions we think, Lord, why am I here? Why did you put me here? I don't want to be here. I need to be elsewhere. You know what I want. You know where I need to go. It's not the way the Lord works. And the sooner we understand that, the better it is for us. In Job, Job 42:2, Job recognizes and says, Lord, you can do what you want. Job was the righteous man who was allowed to be afflicted. I don't need to understand that. Just know that God did it. And Job recognized that it was God's will, and he didn't have to ask permission. He didn't have to ask Job if it was okay with him. He did what he wanted. But Job recognized that in him is that he was the Almighty. In Isaiah 46, it says, his purpose will not be withheld. Whatever he wants to do, he will do. And the other part, the last one, is Psalm 150. He says, he does as he pleases. I think it's verse 4. Anyway, he does as he pleases. So what I'm trying to show you here is that God is God. The Lord is the Lord. And he can do what he wants, how he wants, when he wants, with whom he wants. And we need to come to the understanding as Christians, as born-again believers, to say, Lord, thank you. We are in your care and your concern. Because if we're in that place where he's looking after us, we can see things that are coming and think, instead of the world thinking, oh, this is a bad thing, we can sit and think, I'm not going to enjoy this, but it's going to be good for me. How often do we look at bad things and say, it's going to be good for me? We take medication, don't we? Okay, don't always like it, but it's for a purpose. And you know, the biggest problem with all of us is we think we know best. We know. We're brought up in a situation, we go to school, we get influenced by people. We all think we know it all. I don't. I used to think like that. I have some strange history, but don't worry about it. But I used to think like that. Occasionally I still catch myself sort of going that route and realizing that it is not me. I can control nothing. It's the Lord. You know, the scripture says a man thinks as he wishes, but the Lord determines his steps in Proverbs. And there's a lot of scripture like that, where man determines, but a man decides, but God determines. In other words, he does what he wants. It doesn't matter what you think. And sometimes I think in the modern world today, we think God should listen to us, as opposed to God being available to us, but we listening to him. And the problem is, because Jesus loves, I love it, we are told to practice loving one another. But you can't practice loving one another if you don't understand who God is and what love is. You've got to know what he wants of us. And you know, the problem is that we are building a building. Psalm 127, I always get that mixed up with 27, but Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers build in vain. Where I'm going with this is that we need to be in the place where we can hear from the Lord. We need to be in the place where we are spiritually discerning of what the Lord wants of us. And we've got to know who he is. We've got to know his scripture. We've got to know what his vision is, what his desire for the church is. Otherwise, if we don't know that, how are we going to do it? We're going to do it our own way. And we've got to take our own opinions and our hands out of God's working in our own lives and the lives of the church, in the lives of one another. Opinions are brilliant. Everybody here has opinions. And if I raise the subject, I guarantee you I'd find probably at least 10 or 15 different opinions on that subject. But our opinion should be based on God's word. In other words, our opinion should be his thoughts. Now, God doesn't have opinions. God's clear in what he says. It's not an opinion, it's fact. So it's the truth. And we need to accept that our opinions need to be based on God's truth. And we have a situation these days where we're inclined to chase after personal beliefs instead of resting our lives and our thinking, everything, on doctrinal beliefs from the scripture. What does God say? But we end up with personal beliefs. And when we have personal beliefs, anything goes. It's not based on any particular foundation. We can reach a stage where we will chase different ideas, different causes, different projects. But they are worldly, and they will not last. You know, when the Lord comes to judge us, you know, he's going to look at that, and it's going to be, okay, let's move all that out of the way. Let's see what we've got left. You know, the Lord says we'll be judged for our works and how we build on the foundation that he's given us. So if we are actually part of a building, are we trying to fit ourselves and build ourselves? And we do it the wrong way. When you stand before the judgment seat, the Lord's going to say, okay, look, yeah, I remember that. But Lord, I want to see where you were with me, with my word, with my vision, my desires. And we need to be very careful that we remember that we've been made into the temple of the Holy Ghost. When you read 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19, for those, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And we remember the Holy Spirit. We need to remember that we've been built into a building. We're being built into a building that God wants built his way, for his purpose. And his purpose is to what? To glorify him. Anything we do or say or think, we need to glorify the Lord in it. You know, this morning when we sing the praise and the worship, we're glorifying God. When we start to glorify man and glorify ourselves, we're off the track. It needs to be God that we glorify. And we need to be a body that is united. God is building a body, and we need to be united in the Spirit. Because what I'm talking about here is not necessarily, although that comes later, but it needs to be a spiritual unity. It needs to be a unity amongst us that is built on spiritualness. We got married. Okay, I'll share a little bit. We got married, and for the first 20 years of our lives, we had an emotional and a physical relationship. The Lord did some serious work in our lives. Did I see it as being pleasant? No. Did she? No. It wasn't pleasant. But the Lord did a work, and we accepted eventually, I say eventually, after a couple of years, we realized what was going on, and we accepted what the Lord wanted. I now have a relationship. Is it perfect? Well, I'm getting close, but what I'm saying is, when it comes, when we look at the relationship, I have a spiritual relationship with my wife, an emotional and a physical. And you know, you realize that when you, in the world today, and even in the church today, there's no teaching that we need to have the spiritual relationship with marriages or within the church. Well, we need to be very careful that we actually look at developing the spiritual relationship between each other, especially in your marriage. That's where it starts. You can't build a church if your marriage is not there. It's difficult. And you know, we need to be, we need to have the same faith, the same hope, the same vision. We have all been given a proportion of our faith, grace, and the love, and the gifting by the Lord as the Spirit determines. Are we all the same? No. So when we get built by the Lord, we shared this before, I can't look in Mike's box. I don't know if I want to look in Mike's box, but you know, like kids, you get your box and you want to look in your neighbor's box. What do you want to do that for? The Lord has given you what he's given you. And we need to accept that what he's given you, you need to develop, you need to mature. I say it every time, we need to be reading, we need to be praying, we need to be fellowshipping. How do we grow if we're not doing that? Are we accepting what the Lord throws at us? Say, Lord, thank you, I can go through this with you. The Lord doesn't say, I will remove the mountains in front of you. He doesn't say that. He says, I'll walk over the mountain with you, or through the fire with you, or through the storm with you. He doesn't say he's going to take it away. And so we need to be careful that we don't put God in a box. That is not a good thing, because God can do what he wants. So we need to have this, the same thinking, the same heart, the same thoughts of who God is and who we are. We are a very privileged people. Do we see ourselves as very privileged people? Because in the world today, I don't think they think that. I'm sure they don't think that. The question is, do we actually follow their thinking? We are very privileged. We need to understand it, but we're very privileged because we belong to the Lord, not in our own rights. We don't have our own righteousness. We never will have. And so, in terms of his service, we've been set apart for his service, for his glory. And we need to be careful not to try and do it ourselves. And we can do absolutely nothing without him. You know, John 15, verse 5, he talks about the vine. You know, you guys, if you read John 15, it talks about the vine. And it says, very simply, we can do nothing without him. We can do nothing. How often do we try to do things by ourselves? How often do we try to do it ourselves? I would. No, I have done that. And I have, to my sorrow, I have realized that a lot of work that I've done over the years, the running and the doing and the this and that, has been for nothing. Because has it brought me any closer to God? No. I could be honest. It's taken a lot of energy, a lot of effort, a lot of frustration. Do you know how frustrated you can get when you try to do your own thing in God's church? And yeah, no, I'm sure none of you experience that. But, and we need to be able to understand that we need to sing, we need to pray, we need to say, we need to fellowship. Whatever we need to do it to the glory of God. We must be careful to keep ourselves out of the equation. So, we come down to being fitted as living stones. Ephesians 2 talks about being fitted into the body. And we need to remember that God is God, and he has made Jesus the head of the church, head of the body. He is the head of the body. And who is the body? Us. We are the body. And we need to understand that he is the head. The Holy Spirit determines who we are, what we do, where we go, what function we have. You may think, I can teach. So you go and teach. But when you go and teach, is the Holy Spirit actually guiding you? Is the Holy Spirit saying, yes, I need you here? He may say, no, I don't want you to teach. I actually want you to preach. Oh, no, 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 that's not me. I can't stand in public. But the Lord will give you the grace that you need for whatever he puts in front of you. And we are built into a spiritual house, a divine inhabitation. How's that? That sounds good. A divine inhabitation. If you think about yourselves, I'm not going to look around when I say this, but we think of ourselves as divine inhabitations of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. I mean, it can be difficult to imagine or difficult to remember that the Lord does dwell in you. And that is, we've got to be able to see you as Jesus sees you, see you as God loves you, to see you with the love, and that's the difficult love, the agape one, which is that self-sacrificing love that Jesus had. We've got to see each other like that. That is a tough call. You cannot do it in your own strength. And we need to be wise men. You know, in Matthew it says, the wise man built his house upon the rock. And when the storms came, the house stood. The rock. Again, we sang that this, you see, we sang that this morning. Who is the rock? Jesus is the rock, the foundation, the cornerstone that we need to have our lives based on. If we're not building on that foundation, we're not going to go anywhere. We need to know God's word and obey. Derek Prince used to say, because he's not with us anymore, but he used to say that being a born-again believer is very simple. Know God's word and obey. It's as simple as that. Oh man, that is so easy to say. But it's so incredibly difficult to do. Maybe because we do it, or we try to do it in our own strength. You know, I come out of a land where there's no AA or green flag or something like, you break down, guess who's in charge? Your wife, normally. But, no. But seriously, you can break down in the middle of nowhere. There's nobody going to come and look after you unless you've got a good, and even then the signal's terrible. And you've got to fix it yourself. So you come out of a place where you really try to do it yourself. And it's a habit. You know, I'm sure Gene there knows. The South Africans have got a saying that says, a boer maak 'n plan. A farmer makes a plan. And the places, the Sahel, Southern Africa, are pioneer people. who did it themselves. Because if you didn't do it, nobody else did. And so we need to be very careful that we move our thinking away from that. And we need to be able to discern what the Lord wants of us. And if we're not knowing what the Lord is saying in His Scripture and are trying to, I say trying to obey it, because there's sometimes it is very trying, but at the same time we need to know what God wants of us and to try to work towards obeying it. Are we perfect? Have we achieved? Even Paul was saying after all those many years, he said, I haven't got there yet. I'm still on this road. But it's to continue on that road. It's not to give up. Because the Lord wants something from us. And it does make me a bit nervous. But I'm excited about it. Because it's going to be really exciting. Maybe not right now as we see it. But I think as the time comes, we'll see it and say, Lord, this is good. This is good. Will it hurt? Probably. You can't deny it. One of the things I'd like to just touch on is serving the Lord is an attitude of heart. It's an attitude in here when you determine. It's all about decisions. You determine to serve the Lord. You determine to obey Him. Love, who's Don Francisco. Anybody remember Don Francisco? Okay. Don't worry about it. I thought going back in time, one of the older people, Glenn, might remember Don Francisco. He says, love's not an emotion. It's an act of the will. And we need to understand it's the attitude of our hearts, where we are prepared to let the Lord take us and mold us. Do we like to be molded and shoved and prodded and changed and pointed in a certain direction? No, none of us do. The flesh does not like being told what to do. But we've got to be in a place of saying, if I want to serve the Lord, if I want to follow Him and do what He wants of me, then I need to be in a place of submission. I need to be in a place of accepting what He wants. And if we look at, in fact, if I could read that, I'd like to read to you from what reminded me about this particular scripture was, I've got a t-shirt with a logo on it. And it's the, if we read it, it's from verse 4, Jeremiah 18, sorry, where am I? I'll get it just now, it's in here somewhere. Jeremiah 18, verse 4. And Jeremiah goes down, the Lord takes him to the potter. Now we all know the story of the potter, but we need to really dwell on what the Lord is trying to say to us here. And he says here, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Now we've already discussed who the Lord is and what he can do. He can do what he wants. And sometimes we want to fit ourselves into a place. We want a position. And the Lord says, no, I've got something better for you. Come with me. And we argue and we mutter. But the Lord, in this here, this example here, takes the clay and he breaks it down and he remolds it. The question I have today, having taken all this time to get there, is are we prepared to let the Lord mold us in his way? In other words, to stand back. And sometimes, you know, we really do need to stand back from who we are. To stand back and say, who am I? You know, we were talking, I think Glenn was talking about Matt Walsh. Yeah, saying, examine yourself. And I've been listening to another preacher in the last couple of weeks who also was talking about examining ourselves. Not in a condemnatory fashion, but in a fashion or in a way that allows us to see who we truly are. We need to be open and say, Lord, Holy Spirit, shine your light on me. It can be quite quite a distressing affair sometimes if you're not prepared for it, because the Lord does show you who you are. And we are not always the people that we think we are. We could fool ourselves. We are not sometimes who we think we are or who we'd like to be. And we have a facade, a face. But the Lord wants us to be available to Him to mold us, to make us who He wants. You know, in 2 Timothy 2:20. He says he'll cleanse us. Probably about so. Wants to cleanse us, but he wants us to be made useful for what he wants. So if we're prepared to be cleansed, if we're prepared to submit ourselves to the Lord, if we're prepared to come to the place of seeing who we are and the things that maybe are not right in the Lord's eyes, repenting, asking forgiveness, God's grace is there, always, always there for us to carry on, to lift us, to build us. Sometimes we don't want to grow. That's your choice. But I believe that the Lord has something truly exciting for all of us. And as I stand here this morning, I have that in my heart, that the Lord has something for us. But I want to be in the place where I'm ready to be part of it. And I believe that it's a choice that we can make. But we do need to understand that the Lord's grace goes before us, the Lord's grace comes with us, and the Lord's grace comes behind us. We're in a place of grace where the Lord will sustain us, he will strengthen us, he will lift us up and bring us to the place where he wants us. Our biggest problem in life is that we fight the Lord. Can you win? And the answer is very simply, no. You'll spend your whole life being frustrated and tired and everything else. But yeah. So, you know, we are asked to submit ourselves. In both Corinthians and Galatians, he talks about us being a new creation, to be conformed. We are called to conform to Jesus. We are called to identify with him in his pain, his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. There's that old, I've used it before, it says, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. And we need to understand that in Matthew 16:24, which is, I just want to close on that a bit early, you don't mind. Matthew 16:24. In fact, I'd like to read that. I think it's important that we read that. Matthew 16:24, and I'll carry on reading down from 24. I'll get there eventually. Okay. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We need to understand that. We need to go before the Lord and say, Lord, what does that actually mean in my life? And the Lord does go along. He says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit it is to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? But what will a man give in exchange for his soul? We need to be careful that we are in the where the Lord wants us to be. And to be fitted, to be molded, to be made useful to him in his kingdom. We all have our own ideas of what we think we should do, what we think we should be doing. But we need to come before the Lord. We need to seek him. And I've found that when I've done that, there's a peace that comes with it. There's a joy that comes with it. Because I'm not stressing anymore because the Lord's the one doing the direction. Do I step out of that place? Yes, I do. But there are consequences, and it's probably more painful than staying exactly where the Lord wants it to be. And for me, I want to encourage you this morning that we need to pick up our cross. We do need to deny ourselves, and we need to follow the Lord. And in that following, it's that denying of yourself, it's that submission to the Lord's will, submission to the Lord's authority, submission to what the Lord wants from us. And life does change. Some people say, oh no, I can't let somebody else control my life. Well, it's a bit late for born-again believers because you've already got somebody determining where you go. So it's probably better to go with him than to fight him all the way to the end where you're going to go to anyway. So I want to ask you to be careful that we don't rely on ourselves. Self-reliance is a poison in the blood. Self-reliance stops us from receiving the benefits, the privileges that God has for us, the blessings that God has for us. And if we have that self-reliance, there's not a lot God can do. If we've got our own hand in our own lives, the Lord can't do anything. And the Lord will stand back and say, well, I can't do anything. Because you are in control of your own life. What can I do for you? And we need to be careful, because we've got to reach that place where we reach the limit of what is humanly possible. And then allow God to take over and do what is impossible. For it says very simply in Scripture, nothing is impossible for the Lord. I have seen hard men come to the Lord. Come to the Lord with a softness and an openness and a love that you just honestly would not believe it's the same people. It doesn't compute. It's not possible in the flesh. It's not possible in the carnal man. But as the Lord says, we are new creations. And we have everything we need. We have the faith, the gifts, the grace. We have the fellowship to be able to do what the Lord is asking us to do. And that's to serve Him. To serve Him the way He wants to. I've spent too many years of my life trying to do what I think is right in the church. No longer. Am I still going to make mistakes? Yes, because that's me. But I know that the Lord is doing a work. And I know that God can do the impossible. He has done the impossible in my life. He's changed things in my life that I honestly never thought that would happen. But the Lord's been very, very faithful. But He can't be faithful, in that sense of the word, when you're trying to do your own thing. It's difficult for Him to do anything for you. So we need to be understanding that my salvation, my strength, my sanctification are all found in Jesus. There is no other way. And you know, He is such a faithful God. Such a faithful God. And you know, we are so privileged. When I look around at other religions, other churches, other way of understanding, that submission to Jesus, He says, take my yoke upon you. My burden is light. And when we understand that, we can either reject it and carry our own burden, or we can say, Lord, yes, I want to go there. And the joy and the peace will come with it. So I want to encourage you this morning. The Lord has a plan and purpose for all of us. But it's His plan and His purpose, and we need to be submitted to it. We need to allow Him to fit us as living stones into the building that He's building. And then if He has to chip a bit here, cut off a bit there, and whack it a bit and bang it into place, then so be it. Some of us need more cutting and banging than others, but, you know, that's the Lord. And we need to accept what He has for us. So on that note, I want to encourage you. Look for what the Lord wants. And first of all He wants is that submission, that allowing Him to actually do the work for you. Amen. 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 Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You that You are the Lord. We thank You that You are in control. Lord, help us to not try to control You, Lord. Help us to be available, Lord, surrendered, submitted to You and to Your will, Lord. Just as Jesus submitted Himself to Your will, Lord. Because He saw what was ahead of Him, but Lord, He saw past it to the joy that was there. And He allowed Himself to be broken, Lord, to die, Lord, for Your plan, for Your will. That, Lord, it would free us to be in that same place, Lord. Help us, Lord, to deny ourselves. Help us, Lord, to pick up our cross, Lord, to follow You as You'd want us to. Lord, help us to lose our lives for You. For we know, Lord, that the life that You have is better than anything we could possibly imagine or desire, Lord. And so I thank You. Thank You this morning, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that You can change us. You desire to change us. Help us, Lord, to all have that attitude to allow You to mold us, to change us as You desire, Lord. To fit us where You want us to be, Lord. So I thank You, Lord Jesus. Praise You, glorify You, and worship You. Thank You, Lord. Amen.